Welcome again to our series on the goodness and severity of God. And in this period, I'd like to speak on God's goodness in the area of provision. In the area of provision. And I'd like to start off with that very well-known psalm, the Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23. And in Psalm 23, King David, as it were looking at God as his shepherd, says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. He causes me to lie down in green pastures." You know, we are called the sheep of his pastures. We are likened unto sheep. And King David, who was the shepherd king, and prior to that had been the shepherd boy looking after his father's sheep, he understood this analogy very well indeed. He looked upon himself as a lamb, as a sheep, and he looked upon the Heavenly Father as his shepherd. Now, what does that mean? Well, essentially, you see, a shepherd looks after his sheep. Sheep are defenseless. Sheep wander. They stray. They get into trouble. And a shepherd has to absolutely care for sheep, almost as a father does children or a little baby. And if we look at this analogy, we know that a baby, a little child, can't find his own food. The father provides, doesn't he? And that is one of the great truths of the Word of God, that God is our Father. It was something that the Lord Jesus wanted to emphasize time and time again. He said, "Your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of." You know, one of the titles of the Lord is this, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord sees and he provides. And so, you see, with King David, had this understanding. He had been a shepherd. He had looked after those sheep. He had cared for those sheep. He had protected those sheep. You know, when the enemy came in as a lion and a bear, he slew the lion and the bear and protected the sheep. But also, you see, the shepherd is responsible for leading the sheep into green pastures where they can be nourished and where they can lie down and rest and where they can fatten and where they can mature. You see, the shepherd not only protects from the enemy, but he must provide pastures for the sheep. You know, there's a story of two flocks, and this was in Africa, and the owner of one flock was very diligent, and he ensured that his sheep were fed on the finest pastures. He loved his sheep. But the other owner next door did not care for his sheep. And those sheep were very mangy. They were not properly nourished, with the result that they had all kinds of pestilences. And yet, the one who looked after his sheep, they were freed from all diseases. And that essentially is what King David is saying. You know, the fact that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Who is he speaking of? He's speaking, of course, of God the Father and also the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are good shepherds. You know what Jesus said in John chapter 10? He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And the thought there is this, that he's not only a good man who's a shepherd, but he's good at looking after his sheep. And that is what, you see, the Father wants us to understand, his goodness, his goodness. He is good person looking after in a good way his sheep. He cares for them. See, it's very important for sheep that they have a good shepherd. And if they have a good shepherd, they are going to prosper. Well, God wants us to know him as our shepherd. And that he's very good, and he's going to care for us, and he's going to provide for everything that we have need of. And so, you see, the Apostle John picks this up in 3 John and verse 2. Beloved, I would that you will abound in all things, and that you may prosper even as your soul prospereth. In other words, God doesn't just want us to eke out an existence, but he wants us to prosper, even in times of adversity. God's people are well cared for. Now then, the Apostle Paul picks this up. And in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, he said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Well, have we had a taste of heaven? Perhaps not, or perhaps yes. And I can tell you, in heaven, there is no lack. Everything that one needs is there. In fact, there was a lady who had a vision of my wife, who died some years ago, entering heaven. And there she was met by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And this is, apart from other things, this is what the Lord said to my wife. He said, look, it's all yours. You see, there's no lack in heaven. There are trees that are bound with fruit. There are wonderful drinks in heaven. There's everything that we need. What did the Lord say to his disciples, to Peter? He said, I go before you. Because in my Father's house there are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. You know, the time we're living in, many people, unfortunately, are losing their houses. But you know, in heaven, there is a house waiting for every Christian. It depends, of course, how they have lived this life, as to what kind of house is waiting for them. But there is a house being built for each Christian. And that house will meet your wildest dreams, if I could say that. Yes, you'll have a house that will not be taken away. No. This is what Paul said. that God, you know, will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. Well, they're unbounding, aren't they? There's no limit on God's riches, for God can speak the word and it's there. And so, in a very real sense, you see, Paul is saying, now look, what you have need of upon this earth, God is well able to supply. God is well able to supply. Now, God wanted the children of Israel to understand this. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verses 5 onwards, he said this, speaking of the journey from Egypt to the River Jordan, he said this, and there was no poor among you. No poor among you. Now, isn't that wonderful? You know, King David made this observation concerning the people of his day. And he said, you know, I have never seen the righteous begging. I've never seen the righteous begging. Meaning that God would always provide for his people. And when we think of a father, you know, and a little child, well, the father ensures that the child has what it needs. What it needs. Not necessarily what it wants, but what it needs. All right? He ensures that that child has 3 square meals a day. He ensures that that child is clothed. He ensures that that child has a bed at night. He ensures that the child is warm during the times of cold, and so forth. Well, that's exactly what God did for the children of Israel through the wilderness. He said there was no poor among you. He said your clothes did not wax old, but you had exactly what you needed. Now, I want to give a little testimony that I heard of in Switzerland. I was in Switzerland many years ago, and I was with a group of ministers, and we had a convention. And afterwards, they all gathered around, and the convener said, when it's testimony time, would anybody like to give their testimony? And certain people gave testimony of God's goodness. But there was one person that, shall I say, struck me, and I've never forgotten it. And he gave this testimony. He said, I needed a pair of shoes. I needed a pair of shoes. And so he said, I prayed and I asked God for money to buy a pair of shoes. And he said, I got no answer. He said, I was very perplexed. He said, I prayed and prayed. And then he said, God spoke to me. And God said to me, he said, what do you need? And he said, well, I need a pair of shoes. And then God said, well, why don't you ask me for a pair of shoes instead of asking me for money? So he said, Lord, I'm sorry. Please give me a pair of shoes. And he said it was only a matter of a day or two later, somebody gave him a brand new pair of shoes. He looked at these shoes. They were one of the most expensive pairs that he had seen. In fact, if he'd had money, he would have never bought such shoes. Then he wondered, and he was rather embarrassed when he gave this testimony. He said, I wonder if they'll fit me. And everybody laughed, you see, because everybody realized that if God gave a pair of shoes, well, those shoes were going to fit. So, what happened? He put the shoes on, a perfect fit. Yes, God knows and we have to be precise in our prayers. What do we need? What do we need? And we ask God for what we need. You see, David said, I shall not want. Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Now then, on this thought of prospering, in Psalm 1, which opens up the book of Psalms, it starts in verse 1 with these statements. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scorner. In other words, someone who separates himself from wicked people and lives a godly life. And then it goes on to say, and his delight shall be in the word of the Lord, and in the word of the Lord shall he meditate day and night. Well, after that, you see, a separated life, a life spent in the word of God, then the psalmist, and it's thought it was King Solomon himself, said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, and he shall bring forth his fruit in due season. Now listen to this. And everything he doeth shall prosper. There is the key, you see, to enjoying the goodness of God. To have a separated life, a life that does not go with the tavern people, the wicked people, or, you know, associate with those who work contrary to God and blaspheme his word. No, but our delight is in the word of God. And we shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, bringing forth our fruit. And what fruit is that? Well, essentially, of course, it is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. But more than that, if I could say, it is that we shall bring forth the fruit of good works. For everything that we do shall prosper. Everything that we put our hand to shall prosper. Shall prosper. Now, does that not appeal to you? To enjoy the goodness of God in the land of the living? Everything we do shall prosper. See? Because we shall be the recipients of the goodness of God. But our title is still the goodness and severity of God. Now, in that same psalm, Psalm 1, it speaks of the end of the wicked. And the end of the wicked, we are told that they are like chaff. And when the wind comes, they're swept away. What does that mean? Well, when the Lord comes, there will be his millennial reign upon earth for 1,000 years. Then after that 1,000 years will come the great white throne judgment, where everybody will come before the throne of Christ and there have to give an account of their sins and will be judged accordingly. The books, everybody's books shall be opened. And then we're told that there will be a separation. On his left side, there will be the wicked. On the right side will be the righteous. In fact, the Lord said the same in Matthew 24. He said, when he comes, all nations shall come before him. The righteous nations, the sheep nations, shall be on his right, and on his left shall be the goat nations. those that rebel. Well, coming back to the white throne judgment, there we have the great separation, the wicked and the righteous. Well, then a friend of mine had a vision, and he saw a wind coming, and the wind swept away the wicked, and they went into the lake of fire, everlasting burnings. Now you don't want that. You don't want to be swept away with the wicked. You don't want to spend your eternity in the lake of fire. No. You want to be that tree that bringeth forth its fruit. And so you want to rejoice in the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Yes. You know, if we will follow Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, separate from the wicked and living in the Word of God, we shall be like a tree that brings forth its fruit in due season, and everything it does shall prosper. Now, we have adopted for our theme this period, the goodness and severity of God, but in the realm of provision. In the realm of provision. And I want to give a testimony. It's not my own testimony, but in a sense, it's something that I heard, and I met the very people that experienced this blessing. And they were believers in the country of Wales in the early 1930s. When they experienced economic deprivation. And in those days, there were no social security. There was nothing to help them. The government didn't provide large sums of money, no. And people migrated from Wales and went to England, which was being blessed at that time. But God spoke to some of the people in those churches in Wales. He said, don't go. Stay here. I will look after you. And it was very interesting. Some believed the word of God, and others did not. Say, no, we're going off to England. But those that remained, it's very interesting this, those that remained saw mighty miracles of provision. And I met these people. I met the men, I met the women. And in some cases the children who had prospered. And this was about 20 years later. And this is what they told me. Milk bottles, in those days, milk bottles never ran dry. There was always butter in the larder. There was always food. And they said it was extraordinary. They always ate. There was always food there. And they said in some cases they would go there at night, all the food had gone, but in the morning there was fresh food. Yes, God will look after his people. God will look after his people. And I want to encourage you, you see. And I want to give a few more testimonies along that line. You know, I've been in situations where I've been amongst very poor people. But they've been Christians. And they have not had perhaps the luxuries of life. But they've always been provided for. And you know, I was once with a family, and this was in France. You know, their floor had no carpets on. It was just dirt floor. And they had a lot of children. They had about 6 children. And they invited me to have a meal with them. Well, I did not want to go because I didn't want to take from their food. But I was told by the pastor, you must go. If you don't go, you will offend them. So I went, and there they had a huge pot. And I can say this, that pot had, I think it was a meat stew in it, but it did not have sufficient for 6 children, 2 adults, and myself. But you know, the lady kept putting the ladle into the pot, put it out onto the plates, and I tell you this, with mine own eyes, that did not run out. It did not run out. And so I just want to present that to you. The goodness of God, who provideth well and truly for all his people. I have not seen the righteous beg. No, God says that if we will walk uprightly with him, a separated life, living by the word of God, then we shall be like that tree, bringing forth its fruit in due season. And everything that we do, everything we put our hand to, shall indeed prosper. And that is our prayer for each one of you, dear ones, that you will live in the goodness of God's provision for your life. God bless you. Amen.